On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, we connect with Jared from the Locked On Hurricanes to talk about the last time the Edmonton Oilers were in the Stanley Cup Finals, heading into the Edmonton Oilers' most anticipated season in a very long time. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Caniacs, as we all know, the Carolina Hurricanes are fixing to bring in their 25th season in Raleigh, and probably the best season that they've had is the 2006 season, where they won the Stanley Cup. And with me today to recap that playoff run is Brett from Locked On Oilers. How are you doing today, Brett?
Not too bad. Just ready to recount the saddest days of my life. How about yourself?
I am ready to recap one of the happiest days of my life.
Naturally.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, this was, I believe, 17 years ago now, so we're obviously a bit older than we were then. I was 9 years old at the time, and you were a kid as well. So, you know, coming at it from a child's perspective of watching that, I remember myself, you know, obviously, you know, remembering, you know, the playoffs beforehand, but, you know, like the one I remembered vividly was game seven. And when, you know, the final horn hit, and you know, Doc Emmerich's call and just all that stuff. I remember all that stuff vividly. I'm, you know, running around my parents' living room, around the coffee table, the old fat back TV that was like a thousand pounds. Running around, I remember, yeah, everyone hoisting the cup, we are the champions playing it, all that stuff. I remember that vividly, and it definitely feels like, I mean, you can go back to, you know, the season they actually played before, because the season before this was the lockout season. Tampa had won before that, the season before that, I think Detroit before then, and I mean, Dallas had won, you know, a couple years ahead of that as well. And it really feels like that gets overlooked when people talk about hockey succeeding in non-traditional markets. You had like these, and then the season after, Anaheim won the cup as well. These non-traditional markets becoming a force. Yeah, the Hurricanes, you know, rocky playoff history post Stanley Cup win, but you know, it, I feel like that doesn't get talked about enough.
100%. I think the 2000s, I think especially for this, our generation, for a little bit of the last generation as well, I think was a peak, not necessarily the peak, maybe even the peak of Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, you go and look back at the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Calgary Flames, and you see, oh, was that goal kicked in? Was it not kicked in? You got that kind of debate. You got the start, kind of the start, not necessarily even the start, kind of the middle of the Detroit Red Wings era. And that all kicked off, no pun intended, with Brett Hull's skate in the crease. And it just, it really just solidified fantastic final after fantastic final after fantastic final after fantastic final. And then guess what? Another fantastic final all through the 2000s. And yeah, I completely agree. I think the Edmonton Carolina one gets, and not necessarily pushed under the carpet, but it's just the one that people don't bring up too often. I think it's because there wasn't too much firepower. There were 2 8 seeds, which should really be the story in itself. The 2 8 seeds, the two teams.
Actually, Carolina was the second seed.
You were the second seed?
Yeah, Carolina was the second seed that year, actually, which is,
you were eighth. No way.
I think, you know, the season they squeaked back in when they ended the playoff draft. I believe they're the eighth seed then, when they went to the conference final. I think that may have been it. But
wow.
Yeah.
So you guys were that did not dawn on me, and just how good the Hurricanes were. And you take a look at their team and you go, wow, like you can tell why. And there's just so much going good for the Carolina Hurricanes. I remember when the Edmonton Oilers got their playoff spot, and you want to talk about being kids at the time. Mm-hmm. I was in third grade, and I always like to draw the hockey players. The hockey players were the coolest thing to me, just the aesthetic of hockey players. And I would draw the players and whatever. And I just, as soon as the Oilers made the playoffs, it was big here in Edmonton. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a book. I'm just going to mm-hmm. write this little book as a third grader. And this book that I made was the Edmonton Oilers winning the Stanley Cup in game 7 because of a shootout. I didn't know the overtime rules then, but due to a shootout against the Carolina Hurricanes. And that was right before the playoffs started. And ever since then, I was always like, oh, wow, I must be a genius. But no, I remember just, if there was an East team, it was the Carolina Hurricanes. And then y'all became my biggest enemy for a little while.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that. And obviously, you know, as with every championship team, yeah, there's always going to be, well, they wouldn't have won if, you know, this person got hurt, if that call was made and stuff like that. Kind of a lot of folks will go back to that conference final against Buffalo. And, you know, say that, oh, you know, the Hurricane Stanley Cup, you know, needs an asterisk by it and everything like that. But, you know, again, you just look at the team and the run that they had. Obviously, Cam Ward won the Conn Smythe coming out as a rookie goaltender, you know, just playing his absolute mind off. You had Eric Staal, who was still in the early days of his career, leading the team in scoring. And then, of course, you know, big thing is, you know, the veterans on the team. You know, that team was stacked with vets. You had Rod Brind'Amour, Glenn Wesley. Oh, God, who else did
Dougie
you
have? Waite.
Dougie Waite. Yep, he was the next one. You had Aaron Ward as well. Justin Williams, he was still early-ish in his career as well. And they had
Mr. Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was the start of Mr. Game 7 right there, because he had that empty netter.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And yeah, I think it kind of goes under the radar, like you said, of just how good this team was then. Again, good blend of veteran talent and young talent, and is great.
Well, you take a look at the two teams, and we mentioned we have the Wikipedia pages up as well, but for reference, and I'm taking a look, and I'm looking at all the Hurricanes with Stanley Cup final experience: Martin Gerber, Glenn Wesley, Aaron Ward, Brent Hedekin, Wallin, Mike Commodore, Oleg Tverdovsky, Kevin Adams, Rod Brind'Amour, Recchi, Eric Cole, Craig Adams, we forgot to mention Mark Recchi as well, but Corey Stillman and Josef Vasilchuk, all those players had at least one Stanley Cup appearance prior to that, the 2006 one. Then you take a look at the Edmonton Oilers, and the only two players who actually had any sort of experience in a Stanley Cup final was Dwayne Rolison, Radek Dvorak, three players because Rolison counts, Radek Dvorak, and Michael Pekka. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, man, just if. And I think that kind of, you saw the experience in game 7. The Hurricanes came out to a 2-0 lead. I was talking to my dad before you mentioned, you were talking to your dad about some memories about it. I was like, that's a good call. I'm going to talk to my dad too. And I just got off the phone with my dad, and he was just saying, like, the difference between Carolina and Edmonton at the time was Carolina came out ready for game 7. There was something there for the Edmonton Oilers that they weren't ready, whether that was the inexperience, whether they felt down with their goalie out, which they shouldn't have because they just won in Edmonton at home. So you can always go back and go, like you mentioned, what if, but what a series this was. From the first game, it was back and forth. It was a close game until the worst moment in Oilers history happened, and when Marc-Andre Bergeron sent, who was it? Was it Eric Cole who went into to Rowley?
Do you remember? I think so.
Yeah,
it was
It was somebody like that, and tore his ACL. And a funny story as well. Throughout the entire playoffs, I'd get on my street hockey pads. I'd get my Oilers.
BetOnline is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs this season. And the Carolina Hurricanes are also heading into their 25th season here in Raleigh, and they have made a lot of moves this offseason and are looking really dangerous. So if you want to place a bet on those Hurricanes, your favorite football team, whatever, BetOnline is the place to do it. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchup, news, and podcasts, including this coming week's games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Rollison jersey on, and throughout the entire playoffs, all throughout the game, from the national anthem throughout, I always pretended to be Rowley. I was always the goaltender. I was always watching through the goaltender's eyes. And after that, after he tore his ACL, I was like, oh, now what? I actually had to sit down on the couch and watch those games and really feel the pain from what I almost felt like I was living through Dwayne Rollison in a second body, watching from another, the off the ice, really. And it was, I think that was the turning point for the Edmonton Oilers, was that injury. Do you guys kind of see it that way? I know that that's the narrative here in Edmonton, is that if Rowley didn't get hurt, we would have won that cup. What's kind of the view there?
I could definitely see that being the case. You know, because, yeah, so often, heck, you just look at the Carolina Hurricanes past season when Freddie Anderson tore his, I think it's MCL in Colorado right before the end of the season. Yeah, you know, they still, you know, made it to game seven of the second round of the playoffs. But, yeah, had he not gotten hurt, you know, maybe they make a bigger run. I don't know. Right. But, yeah, I could definitely see that. I will say, you know, one thing, yeah, that was brought up the other day when I had Mike Maniscalco, the Hurricanes play-by-play announcer, on, was at the time hockey was still very new in Raleigh. You know, the team moved here from Hartford in 97. Then, yeah, they had the cup run where they lost to Detroit, I think like 2001, 2002 season. And then you get this season here. So you have to talk to like a lot of like the older folks, again, like parents essentially, because a lot of the kids are not, were exactly that, the kids, or they weren't even born yet, which is crazy to think about, that team has been here for so long. But yeah, I definitely think it really comes down to that injury. I think, you know, if it could have gone either way, for sure, obviously it went to game seven, of course it could have gone either way, but you know, it's crazy to think about. I think, like you said, that experience, I think at the end of the day, may have been what carried the team over the hump. You know, you look at your captain, Rod, you know, he went in the mid 90s with Philly. Then he had that cup run early 2000s with the Hurricanes. And then, you know, he finally gets over here. And then, like you, all the other guys you mentioned with cup experience for the team, then I think at the end of the day, you know, that experience is really what got them over the hump. Honestly, because had everyone stayed healthy, there's no telling what we're talking about.
100%. And I mean, that summer was a summer the Edmonton Oilers brought in Chris Pronger and Michael Pekka. And I remember the buzz around Edmonton going, you know what, this is the year again. It's going to be 1990 all over again in 2006. And I remember driving through, well, not me personally, because I was in third grade, but I remember driving from the grocery store back to my parents' place in Southside Edmonton. And there's people with signs going, honk for the Oilers, honk for the Oilers. And all you could hear is honk, 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 all the way down 23rd Avenue. It was, And that was the other thing that I really got from my dad was he has been around the city when Edmonton wins. When Edmonton is a playoff hockey town. I mean, now with the way that the Oilers are, maybe that'll start to change. But just with how poor the Oilers were for ever since the Stanley Cup final, people not necessarily didn't care about the Oilers, but everybody was just like, oh, it's the Oilers season again. We always had a sold out stadium, blah, blah, blah. But you just felt something different. You feel something different when the it's the playoffs. Everybody in Edmonton has a smile on their face. You see each other going down the street and going, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. How are you? And you're friends. There's no animosity. You're not strangers. You're friends. And that's what that Edmonton Oilers team did. And that's what playoff Edmonton Oilers do to the city. And I think as for a young age like me, being able to see that camaraderie of the city. We had people down White Avenue hanging off of a light post going, we want the cup, we want the cup. Like, we got everything. And that was, my dad said after the Oilers lost, he was torched. He was tired after for weeks because of the energy that the city was putting into it. That's how much this meant to Edmonton. And still you go back to those days and you still kind of see today just the pieces that are still lying around.
Yeah, it's definitely, playoff hockey is definitely something else entirely, because like you mentioned, Edmonton, they didn't make the playoffs from this Stanley Cup final till 2017. The Hurricanes, from this Stanley Cup, they made the playoffs once in between then and 2018-19 season, where they went to the conference final in 2009 when the Penguins won. So definitely both these teams after this cup just took a nosedive, honestly. And, you know, with us being at our age, a lot of our fandom has been in the no playoff time. You know, the Hurricanes, you know, whenever they came here, and we're in Greensboro, North Carolina, when PNC Arena was still being built, you know, like that first game or whatever. Yeah, a really good crowd, but after that, you know, attendance, you know, plummeted. The jokes that folks will make, oh, no fans, relocate to Quebec and stuff like that. You know, like that then very much the case. And then, you know, they slowly start getting their following. And you know, they make playoffs the first time in 99, you know, they go to the cup in 01, 02, and then they win 05, 06. And I do feel that that was something that really, you know, cemented almost hockey here, or at least tried to. But then again, you go for so long just in mediocrity. And I think it really, it hurt the team, obviously, an organization like getting that foothold here, but they've obviously got it now. You know, new ownership, new management, made the playoffs for four straight years. They got their franchise tentpole players. But, you know, in talking with my dad, you know, about it, you know, he remembers, you know, day one in Greensboro, his white Hurricanes jersey, he bought it at Greensboro Coliseum in the first season. And you know, you talk about your dad, I'll tell you what my dad said. You know, he remembers, you know, the excitement that was around of the team is like, you know, they're getting going, like, oh, okay, you know, we actually got something going now. You know, because the Panthers had just lost in the Super Bowl a couple years prior. And you know, I think the Hornets had just moved to New Orleans, and we had just gotten the Bobcats before they changed their name back to Hornets, and they're trash. Don't even get me started on that. But you know, Cam Ward breaking out and going on that run, cementing himself as, you know, NHL goalie. Yeah, you can argue, the Conn Smythe season was his peak. You know, I know he got Vezina votes. I think he made the All-Star game once when it was here in Raleigh. I believe he was there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I've talked about before, you know, especially towards the latter days of him being here, no quality backups, constantly getting overplayed, playing hurt, not having a good team in front of him, and just his prime getting cut short because of all that. But then again, you know, also talk about Eric Staal. He's coming off his 100-point season, leading the team and scoring in the playoffs. Rod Brindamore finally getting, you know, that monkey off his back. You know, he's regarded as the greatest player in franchise history for a reason. And, you know, the excitement of the team making the cup, counting down the seconds until they actually won when that final horn sounded. And, yeah, just folks really embracing the team. I think, you know, if they were able to capitalize on that success, then maybe, you know, folks aren't just now taking notice. Because obviously in the past few years, it's become a hockey destination, you know, with Calvin DeHaan. He was like the really first big free agent that was brought in a few years ago. But now you got most recent one, Brent Burns, waiving his no trade clause to come here. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a testament to what they got going now. But yeah, the success of that season, I think, really goes under the radar. Like you mentioned, that whole just Stanley Cup final in general. Obviously, you can argue, you know, it's two small markets. Obviously, the Oilers, you know, much bigger deal in Canada than they are in the States. But Raleigh, North Carolina, small market. You know, we got two professional soccer teams in the area as well. But, you know, that's it. And actually, at the time, I don't even think they were here either.
Wow. Well, it's so I'm kind of getting lost and not lost in it, but I'm just like listening to it all. And I'm putting myself back in that old Millwoods house of mine with the gross green tinted walls. I just remember how empty of a feeling it was. It's cool to be able to years now down the road, be able to hear somebody who was there, who was able to celebrate it, where so many of the people that I've been able to interact and connect with have all been Oilers fans and have all just gone, oh, it was the worst time. Mm-hmm. And being able to hear just like the other side of it, it's so cool. That is the beauty of the sport. I think that a lot had to come about for that Stanley Cup to come together, but I think it was genuinely one of the best, if not the best, from the 2000s. And you see the outcomes that came from it. Obviously, the growth of hockey in North Carolina and even the States in general, even almost as well. You see the deterioration of the Oilers. I mean, right after that, Chris Pronger demanded his trade, was gone, went to Anaheim, won his Stanley Cup there.
Yeah.
Mike Pekka was gone after that year as well. It was the deterioration of that team. And then Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish had to go and sit there and go, okay, who do we have to keep? And they kept the wrong guys for years, years, and became, as we call it up here, the decade of darkness. And it only took until 2015 for them to draft the greatest player ever for things to finally start to turn over and go, okay, now we might have a chance. Now, last year was nice, you know, and that was the big thing, I think, for Edmontonians for the last Stanley Cup run, I guess. Well, not even Stanley Cup run, for the last playoff run, I guess, was that it really reminded a lot of people of that team. I mean, you went into the Calgary Flames series and the Oilers weren't supposed to win that at all.
Yeah.
And everybody just wrote them off. I wrote them off. I said the Flames were going to win in seven. And there you sat there and went, okay, this is an underdog team. And then they won. And then you go, oh, okay, they have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe they're not so much. But you felt the city come alive again. You had the mosh pit. You had the people outside of the media room going, "Let's go Oilers! We want the cup!" You know, Hyman, Hyman. All these things that culminated together. I think really the reason why they culminated for so or the way they did is because of this 2006 Stanley Cup final. It took so long. And my dad even said, and we keep bringing up our fathers because I mean, I won't speak for you, but for my dad personally, like he was a hockey fan before the Oilers came into Edmonton, got set. Like he was there when the Oilers were the Oilers in the 80s. And so like he said, like it was, he's been so mad for so long after that 2006 Stanley Cup final, because the Oilers just didn't do anything to try and get there again. And now they finally have a team that can finally do that. And that's been kind of the thing within the city since 2006 is just the feeling of, oh, the Oilers suck anyways. Oh, everybody in my generation has always gone, oh, I cheer for this other team, because throughout the years since 2006, the Oilers suck. Like there was no reason. The best player was Alex Hemsky for years. And when, no knock to Alex Hemsky, I love Alex Hemsky, but you sit there and you go, okay, this team is not fantastic. They're not doing anything to make the move. And you just sit there in mediocrity for so long. And Edmontonians got sick and tired of it, especially after seeing 2006. So I think that final, it was so important for the future of both organizations, positively and negatively as well.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Again, yeah. Hurricanes, aside from that one season, no playoffs as well. It wasn't until 2015 when Sebastian Aho got drafted where it felt like, all right, you know, we got something to cheer for, because, you know, Jeff Skinner, he kind of peaked early. Eric Staal, he was on the decline as well. Things just weren't clicking for him anymore. Same with Cam Ward, like we talked about already. But, yeah, it definitely feels like this 2006 Stanley Cup was really what cemented, like, a lot of folks around our age, at least here, really got folks into hockey. Obviously, a lot of folks, you know, didn't necessarily stick around with the Hurricanes per se, because, again, team not being great. but again, a lot of folks still did, because, you know, the Hurricanes, even when they're bad, they still had good turnouts to the games and the crowd was still loud. Yeah. May have been a lot of visiting fans there too, but the home fans were always very loud as well and supported the team. And like you said, you know, you go around Edmonton, you know, in those years, like, oh, the Oilers suck. You know, it's the same thing with the Hurricanes for a long time. You know, folks not even realizing that we had the team. And, you know, especially like with like a lot of transplants moving in over the past few years, them not knowing about the team because the team hasn't been good. But again, in the past, you know, 4-5 years, team really turning a corner and being a consistent playoff team and really finally starting to build. I think, you know, a lot of it comes from your captain of that team is now your head coach, and having the right folks in place as well. You wasn't a player on that team, but Tim Gleason, you know, now, you know, assistant coach, you know, one of Rod's former teammates, absolute monster on the blue line for the Hurricanes back in the day. Having the right folks that know how to win. You talk about, you know, the Stanley Cup experience on the team back then. You got that now too. Gosh, you know, trying to remember who all is on the team now, having had so much turnover. But, you know, Brent Burns having been to Stanley Cup, you got Jordan Staal having won Stanley Cup before Teuvo Teravainen. You got, oh gosh, who else do we have? Cause we got so many young guys too, which is, definitely throwing me for a loop. Yeah. Gosh.
I forgot about Teuvo too. Teuvo is part of a very important, Chicago Blackhawks team back then.
He's got cup experience. Oh gosh, who else do we have? Derek Stepan, he's on a PTO. I think he may be able to get a contract. Max Pacioretty, he's obviously hurt right now, but yeah, again, it's just crazy to think about just how long it took these teams to finally capitalize, but they are, which I think is really important for obviously the teams and their future success, but just their markets in general. You know, you go downtown now and you see Hurricanes t-shirts, you see Hurricanes jerseys, especially during the season, you know, like the little banners that people will hang from light poles. You got Hurricanes ones, you got playoff ones. And yeah, the team is being embraced by the city. And I think that's really important. Whether you're a day one fan, like my dad, you know, a fan that's been around, you know, for since they're a little kid growing up and going to games like me, or, you know, it's a new fan. I think it's great that, you know, you've got a team that's finally capitalizing on success the way they did in the previous era.
100%. I think we should maybe roll off with our favorite memory from that playoffs. Maybe let's keep it to the final. What was your favorite memory from the final? And if you say Dwayne Rolston going down, I will board a plane right now and come see you.
No, honestly, I think it's a bit, well, there's two things. First and foremost, the Game 7 hype video with Nickelback. I think that was unmatched. I don't know how we haven't started talking about it until now.
Talk about that to this that day is here.
That is elite. Oh, yes. But honestly, I would say there's a reason he's one of my favorite players ever is Justin Williams getting that empty netter. You know, when the team wasn't good, you know, when he went to L.A., I would watch L.A. because of him. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the legend of Mr. Game 7 just continued to grow since then. But yeah, honestly, it's probably Justin Williams. And of course, you know, just all of it, you know, Cam Ward winning the Conn Smythe, Eric Staal, you know, having a tremendous just playoff in general. But for you, what was your favorite moment from that final?
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet, I guess, but for me, it would be the rise of Fernando Pisani and just the massive goals that he would consist of. The game winner and what was it, game 2 or game 3, I believe it was. I can't remember when exactly he scored one of his big game winner. I think it was actually an overtime of one of those games too. And just an Edmonton boy, a local kid, it was almost Mark Messier-ish, and it was his 1 year that he really sent off. He was the leading scorer in the playoffs. You know, he was just the guy for the Oilers when they still had Mike Pekka, Chris Pronger, Sean Horkoff, Alex Hemsky. But it was this local Italian lad from Edmonton, Alberta, who came out and really just balled out for the Edmonton Oilers. And I mean, I believe it was the following year he ended up with colitis, and it kind of derailed his season and his career as well. And that was just, if you could keep one beautiful thing in your mind, is just Fernando Pisani and Ryan Smith just celebrating together, the toothless grin of Ryan Smith. And yeah, it brings back so many. Like, that's why I brought out these jerseys today, because it's nostalgic. And I see Fernando Pisani and Ryan Smith in these jerseys. And it's the realization of the love of the game that you kind of had. And that was the growth of it. And now we're here, you know? So yeah, I think that's really, really what it is Pisani and those nostalgic moments.
Yeah, it is definitely fun to look back on for sure. And now with both teams, like we've been talking about, they finally got the right pieces in place. It feels like, you know, it's only a matter of time before these teams, you know, get back to the Stanley Cup. Whether or not they play each other, that's obviously astronomical odds, but it could happen. These teams, they finally got the right guys in place to make another run. Do you get revenge? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I go up 2-0 in the cup against you. But yeah, definitely those nostalgic moments. And you talk about your Edmonton boy being the breakout player of those playoffs. with the way hockey is growing in Raleigh, I've been talking about it with team reporter Walt Ruff yesterday, Mike Maniscalco the other day, and NC State's head coach earlier in the week. Before too long, there's going to be someone from Raleigh, like, consistently in the NHL, the way this the game is growing here and the way the junior team is playing. And it's going to happen eventually.
Good, good.
And I think it all comes back to Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And it all goes back to the Stanley Cup, goes to the development, speaks to the development as well of the game down south too.
It really, really does. Now, Brett, where can my listeners find you on social media, and where can they find your show if they wish to share some memories with you?
Yes, please do. Please share some memories, because I mean, yes, it is a little bit of a sad nostalgia, but it's still nostalgic anyways. You can find me personally on all social medias at The Real Holden 40, but you don't care about me. You care about the Oilers and the product on the ice. And you can find the show at Locked On Oilers on Twitter, exactly how it sounds. And if you haven't subscribed already to the podcast on YouTube, then what are you doing? You can find it at Locked On Oilers, exactly how it sounds, there as well.
And for any of your listeners that want to catch up with me and the Hurricanes, you can find the show on Twitter, Instagram at @LO_Hurricane. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. You can find the show on whatever streaming platform you're listening to this on. And you can find me on Twitter at @JaredEllis_96. It's been great talking to you, Brett. And I will send you pictures of all of my Stanley Cup stuff later, because I totally forgot to get some of that stuff out. But it was great talking to you. And let's go, Canes.
Ah, you as well. Play La Bamba, baby.